You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Joshua and chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, it's your day, your time. So God, we want to take advantage of why you have given it to us. We are seeking to honor you, meeting together as you have required, that we would have the benefits collectively and individually, that we could proceed on the outgoing, the outworking of our life, work, home, school, play. God, that we'd be able to proceed in the light of our state, country, world, to be a little light in the darkness. God, thank you very much for thy word. Help us. Thank you. Now, in the light of that, if you were looking at a believer, here's a believer, what would you want to see in a believer? What is God expecting to see? Now, every believer is privileged to have what? To be more than God, 2 Corinthians 2:14. God causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, always, always triumph in Christ. So that every day, the rest of your life, once you get saved, is one of the outworking of a wonderful relationship to God that gives you the victory over every word, thought, and deed in your own head and in the world around you that you get and receive. And God, you allow us to proceed in such a wonderful relationship so that we're always, always having the victory and in our understanding more and more of your wonderful person, that God, you teaching us of our relationship to you, the outworking of that relationship, and all the world is paying attention in your wonderful way to make it known to them that you're a great God. So we grow up, we stumble through, we get up and keep going, and we learn and we grow. That's a believer. Is that you? That's a believer. That's what a believer is supposed to be. More than conqueror through him that loved us. So if you look at a Christian, that's what you should see. That's what you should understand. Now, having said that, that's why we're studying the book of Joshua. Because Israel as a nation, we as a people, Israel as a nation is having to be exercised in possessing God's wonderful purpose for their life. They are going to fail, ultimately, but they go through the process of learning wonderful, wonderful lessons, and God helps them. Here we are in the same thing, only we're alive on planet Earth, and Israel is going through, you're going to fail, but God has a wonderful future for them, and they will not fail. Here we are representing God in the light of day of rank unbelief, in the day of the grace of God, before the wrath of God. Here we are. So we're to be a testimony. So I want to learn from Joshua the wonderful lessons on how to cope, so I'm not copeless. So I'm going down the corridor and I'm being educated and not stupid about everything. I'm learning how to think, how to act, how to understand, how God works. Wow. Now, back to Joshua chapter 10. That's a long way around to tell you. That's why we're studying. We aren't studying it for the fun of it. We're studying it to understand, I hope, so that we can exercise these truths in our own life. So here's Israel, remember, the leadership and the people, and thus the people have been deceived by the Gibeonites, chapter 9, etc. And in the process, they are now, and they have been united at Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, chapter 8, and they, 2 million plus of them went, and everyone would have, couldn't have missed it, on each side of the mountain, and six tribes. So what? They heard the wonderment of the blessings of God, and they amen the blessing and the cursing, and all the world around them you couldn't have missed it. Now, and then they're on a high, and then they have to understand the world hasn't changed, the heart hasn't changed, and the Gibeonites come in and deceive them. So now they got deceived, and they're paying attention. And Israel and Joshua are, boy, they got the message. So they're encouraged and they're confident, and they aren't having self-confidence. They aren't being disobedient. They aren't being covetous. They aren't being prayerless. No, they're on a high. They just got clipped. They just fell on their face. But boy, they get up because God has encouraged them, and they just fell. So they understand you need to look to God, and they roll up their sleeves, and the people are looking to God. So therefore, the whole nation, in varying degrees, is alive and well and looking to God. So now, and thus they're in Gilgal. The Gibeonites come, remember, and they're in trouble. The five kings of the south, Jerusalem and around him, the five kings, are going to attack the city of Gibeon, a royal city of the Hivites. And they're going to attack, and they're there, lined up, all of them, because they've got to get rid of the Gibeonites from having a relationship to Israel that would spread so that all the nations will surrender. And the five kings are in trouble, so they've got to teach the Gibeonites a lesson, and to teach the rest of Israel, Palestine, a lesson. So having said that, here they are, and they come to Joshua. Remember, we shared together. And Joshua, they cross over 16 miles and cry for help. They cried, they came the first time, and they deceived them. This time they're coming, and they aren't deceiving them. They're telling them, we're in great need. Chapter 10, verse 6, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And Joshua, what are you going to do? Well, Joshua doesn't mess around at all. They're ready. They're right on top of things. And they're in need. The five kings are there. It's a crisis. And Joshua responds, verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, all the mighty men of valor. Here's over 600,000 of them. Wow, moving. Wow, moving in mass. They're going to go 16 miles all the way over to Gibeon. And they're going to do so. And they're going to do so at night. They're going to do so suddenly. They pack up, get run out of the house like a firing people in the fire station. The alarm rings and everyone moves. All the people are going to move. Joshua, the alarm has been given, and they're all moving. They're all going. They line up, boom, they're going to cross over the 16 miles over to Gibeon in the west. Now, in the process of that, verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel. So God, here we are, here's all the five kings. And God, you're doing what? I'm going to go, I'm ahead of you, as always. And God stirred up the five kings and discomfited them. He put them in motion, as it were, strong, scattering them, discomforting them, in haste, terrifying them. They're all up in Hebel, these five kings, and all of their troops are there. And verse 10, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Akzekah and Makdekah. That's 36 miles away. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to, a big chase, big run. And God put them in panic. Israel's attacking, spent all night, and they come. And the five kings aren't turning around and fighting them. They're running. They didn't even, here comes Israel, and the five kings didn't line up and go after them. On the contrary, the five kings, they didn't go after Gibeon either. They turned around and ran to the west, up to Beth Horon, etc., as we shared. Now, and that's what they're doing. So now the chase is on. The excitement is there. You can just imagine the excitement and all of that. And the spirit that is there, the five kings are not happy, and the Israelites are excited about having the victory, about a great God. Now, hang on to that. And they're going to go all the way to Makkedah, and that, remember, is going to be 36 miles, so you want to just think of that going around. So it's a long trip. Think of going from here, as I think we said, to New Haven. That's 37 miles, I think. That's a long trip. We're going to run. We aren't, no car, no camels, no horses. We're moving. And we're fighting. So we aren't stopping to have lunch. We aren't stopping to do stuff. It's movement. Wow. Now, in the process, verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, and they were more which died from hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So God, here comes all the Israelites, and they're chasing them, and God is letting, it's sunny, remember, sunny, and the hailstones are falling. The hailstones are large enough to kill. So you get hit with a hailstone. Think of we shared in Revelation 16 and that. God's going to rain hailstones down again, approximately 100 pounds. To get with a 100-pound hailstone, I suggest that it will hurt. How's that? I suggest if you get clipped with a 100-pound hailstone, that it probably would knock you down and out. So God, you're going to do it. So God, and here, what about the Israelites? How do you fit? God, you don't hit them. You just hit the Israel, you just hit the kings, the enemy. And here they all are, and you just hit the enemy. And more get killed by the hailstones than by the sword. Wow. So now, that's all going. And the excitement's there. Remember, they're going to go from Gibeon, and they're going to go up to Beth Horon, up and then down a mile and a half to the lower, up, upper, down, upper, and lower Beth Horon. And then they're going to go all the way down south 11 miles, and they're running, and here they are, and the whole excitement of this, you'd have to imagine it. Now, they're excited. God, you're a wonderful God. Now, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of the Lord, in verse 12, he said in the sight of the Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Aj-Aj-Alon. Now, notice in verse 12, God goes, Joshua goes, and he speaks. He's going to go and speak to God, and it's intensive. So you, the little word to speak. He looks to God, full of excitement, busy. His whole mind, his whole heart. He's eager. He's persuaded. He's diligent. He is all moved. He's moved. So the words are coming out of Joshua to God, looking to God. Now he's all excited. To God, about God, looking to God, wow, hang on to that. Now, looking to God. And the Amorites are there, etc. And he then goes and says to before God is there. Remember, everyone's retreating. Israel is in pursuit, etc. And there's great panic and movement and hailstones and everything going all over the place. So in the process now, before we do that, you need to understand something else. Remember, hold your finger here, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 20, among other places. I need to remember, you need to remember. In God's wonderful grace, what were the Israelites? What did Joshua understand? He understood his assignment. Did the people of Israel understand the assignment? Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 20, picking up in the light of the context, verse 20 and 16, this is the part about the cities in the land of Palestine. Verse 16, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive zero, nothing that breathes. No one, nothing that breathes. Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And that they may teach you not to do after their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, you should sin against the Lord your God. So God, what were they told? They were told, Joshua, when we go in the land, everyone terminate. That's what we do. Now, one other place, that's the assignment. And Numbers, that helps. Numbers chapter 33 again. And in Numbers 33, picking up please, if you would, in Numbers 33, and go to verse 50. And the Lord spake 33:50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, and ye shall dispossess by exiting, dispossess the inhabitants of the land that dwell and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Now, keep going a little further over to verse 55. But if you will not drive out, if you will not do what I told you, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. You know what it is to have something stuck in your eye? It bothers you. It bothers you. If you leave them in, you are going to be one troubled people, and you're going to be in trouble. Think of Jeremiah, chapter 1, 17, 18, 19. Jeremiah, you tell them, you give the message to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And you do what I tell you to do and say it. They may not like it, say it anyway. And if you don't, all that I'm going to do to them, I will do to you. That's sobering. If you don't drive them out, they in turn will go after you. Now hang on, think of our thing with the Arabs this morning in Sunday school. the Edomites and all. There's no way they quit. The Arabs, the Ishmaelites, the Arabs, they never quit. They'll never, never quit. The flesh never quits. When is it going to end? It isn't. Not until the Lord fixes it. Not going to quit. Wow. No way. As we shared that. Now, back over, if you would, to Joshua and chapter 10. And in Joshua chapter 10, picking up, if I may, you know, my Bible turned to a J. That's a Job. But you aren't ready for Job. So we'll go back to J, Joshua. Joshua chapter 10. Now, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Now, and now remember, Joshua just has looked to God with great intensity and excitement. He's looking to God. He strings all his words together, counting and looking to God. He's speaking to God. And then he turns in the sight of Israel. Here's all the people around him. Here's his captains and the enemy and his friends and everyone else fighting the battle, and Joshua the commander leading them into the fight. And Joshua, having called upon God, wonderfully calling upon God, he then turns to the sun in the sky, and he speaks to the sun. He's talking directly to the sun. The sun doesn't listen. He isn't the point. Joshua, what are you doing? You're doing what? Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And the moon in the valley of Ajalon, that's down the road, around, way over there to the west, 11, it's 12 miles. Gibeon's here, and 12 miles away is Ajalon. And then the valley is 6 miles in length after that, going westward to the Mediterranean. And so here we are. Here's Joshua up there in Beth Horon and all of that, fighting. And it's a long run. They're running. You've got to get the enemy. Now, what do you know about the enemy? What did you do in the Jericho? Everyone except Rahab died. Eliminate Jericho. The Gibeonites knew it. What did you do at Ai, northward? Everyone went. All went. No one lived. Everyone knows that. Gibeon said, and what are you doing? You're fulfilling what I told you to do. And as you're going, so in the process of that, here they are, and Joshua says, God, we need time. And he, looking to God, that shows you how excited he is. He tells the sun, you think of this now, stand still. That's a command. Stand still. Sun, thou stand still. Speak unto it, and that's what he did. In his energy and in his exercise, he said to the in sight of all Israel, witnessing that all hear him. Wow, as it were, everyone's going to ultimately know it pretty quick. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now you remember in the verb, everything is moving. 1, 2, 3. He looks to God immediately. The verbs, the movement. Next, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's moving right along. Quick, quick, quick. Wow. And he turns to the sun after looking to God, and stand thou still, God. And still, it means still. Be supported. Stand still. Don't move in the sight of all Israel. And Israel, Gibeonites, you fear God? You do. But God, are you going to help them? I'm going to help them, God said. They have to understand. They deceived my people, and my word and my will. And they made it so that I had to, the people of Israel honored and didn't take the Gibeonites at all. They protected them. So now, here's the sun. Sun, stand thou still. It's a command. Be silent, stand still, rest. stay in the same condition, remain, and the moon, be still, in essence, be, same word, different word, be still, rest, don't move. If the moon moves, it means darkness is coming in. So here's Joshua looking at the sun, stop. And then he says to the moon, stop. Darkness, don't come. I need the light. He's talking to the sun and the moon that don't hear. But God does. Now God, Joshua, that's a pretty bold thing, you know, to be able to talk to the elements and they answer. They don't move. The sun stood still. That's what it did. And wonderfully so. Now, in the light of that, in verse 13, and he said, and the sun stood still, there's your verb, and the moon stayed, that the verb, to set up, to be extended, to stop, to be supported in the same condition. Stop. And thus the sun hastened not to go down, and the light, the sunlight was there. And where is it? It's over Gibeon. Now here's the sun going from east to west, and here's Gibeon on the west, and we're going to go 12 miles over here to Ajalon, and that's going west, and here's the sun over Gibeon, and here's the moon over Ajalon, the valley, and Joshua, and Gibeonite, what do you know? You guys worship the sun and the moon, don't you? And they did. And who's in charge? God is. Joshua, what did you just say? Sun, stop. Moon, sit still. We're fighting a battle. Help us to win. God, and he didn't, it was just a command. Do it. And it did. Wow. Now hang on. You have to understand. You have to have a heart. The people are moved about God. They crossed the Red Sea. They crossed the Jordan. God has taken care of Jericho. God has taken care of Ai. They have been at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And they've been, and God, you have excited them and excited Joshua. Joshua, you are full of a knowledge of a wonderful God. And you're able to not dare, you're able to step forward in the light of God and ask impossible things without even thinking, because you have such a sense of God. Not many Christians have a sense of God. No, they don't. No, that's the problem. Hang on, we're going to try to get it quickly. Now, in the light of it, so here they are in verse 13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now, hold on to that. And in the process, so here's all the solar movement going, the light is there, and God, you just did it. Now, you have to understand, just like you did with the creation and the film and evolution, all that stuff. You have to understand God. To the degree and measure you understand God, you'll realize there's no limitations. Not a big bang like for the creation. He threw the stars into space as a sidelight. He threw them out. He already made the earth, and then he decorated it, surrounded it with stars. Now that doesn't mean much until you know what we know so far. There's between 100 to 200 billion galaxies, not stars, that we think we know. Billions of galaxies, thousands, trillions of stars, just like that. That's God. That's your Savior. That's my Savior. That's my God. You understand? More than causing us to be triumphant in Christ. That can't be. Hold it. The problem is we don't have a sense of God. Now, keep going. Now I'm going to try to illustrate that for you. Sun, moon, everything sit tight. Now, I'm going to have a little exercise quickly if I can. Over to the book of Job. Now remember now, there's no sense in talking about any of this to the average person, believer, if they don't have a sense of God. That won't mean a thing, because that's impossible, and it can't be, and then you come up with all kinds of rationale. Over to Job, and chapter 9. The book of Job, chapter 9. Now Job's living in the days of Abraham, time of Abraham, and Job, Bilhah has condemned you for that you must have done something wrong to have all these problems. Now, chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with God, he cannot answer him 1 in 1,000. In other words, there's no way to win with God. No way to win. And when you slide down, no way to win. Go all the way down. And then he's going to talk about God. There's no way to beat God. How do you go against God? Sliding down, verse 5. Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, it doesn't rise, and sealeth up the stars, and God, you hide them? You can do all of that. Job, did you know that? You did. You knew that God could stop the sun like that, even though he's promised the seasons and everything. God, there's nothing you can't do in your wonderful way. And thus the star, you can remove them and make it so they don't see them. Wow. Over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, etc. Over to Habakkuk. And at chapter 3, I think. Habakkuk in chapter 3. Picking up, if I may, in verse 2, Habakkuk, you're looking, and verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God, in the midst of all that needs to be taken care of, don't forget mercy. We need mercy. Now, sliding down, Israel, be encouraged. Nebuchadnezzar, be encouraged. The tribulation thereafter, Babylon, the tribulation, be encouraged. Verse 8, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? God, was it a pain in the neck to you? No, it was a pleasure to me. It was a pleasure to me to take care of it. Thus, in the light of thy word, etc. Verse 10, and the mountains saw thee, and they trembled, the overflowing of the water passed by, the deep uttered his voice and lifted up the hands on high. In other words, the whole wonderful activity of life, creation. Verse 11, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. God, Habakkuk, what do you know? Israel, be encouraged. God can take anything anywhere and make it work for his wonderful will, in his wonderful will, in his wonderful way. So Habakkuk, you understood it. Abraham, Job, do you understand it? Joshua, you claim it. Wow. Now, over if you would please. Over to Exodus. Exodus. You have to have these. Habakkuk has gone. Job has a sense of God. If you don't have a sense of God, it'll all seem foolish. But when you put God in the equation, what's the big problem of opening the Red Sea? When you put God in the equation, what's the problem of opening the Jordan River? When you put God in the problem, what's the problem of saving you? Wow. So now, here we are, Exodus. Exodus in chapter 10, I think. And please remember, keep in mind, God's wonderful working history. And in the process, in Exodus chapter 10, may I pick up in verse 21. Exodus 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the plagues in Egypt, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness, how much darkness? That may be felt. Think about going out tonight and you could feel the darkness. You could feel it. Wow. Huh. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another. Neither arose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. So God, you made it dark for every Egyptian, and light for the, and darkness felt, but for the believers, for the Israel, they had light. Now, God, how could you do that? Wow. Shouldn't the Israelites feel the darkness? Nope, they didn't. Shouldn't the hailstones hit the Israelites? Nope, God didn't aim at them. Would you go with me, please, over to Luke in chapter 23. Luke in chapter 23. Chapter 23, as you know and familiar, chapter 23, verse, going to go, remember the thief on the cross, at noon until 3 o'clock. God, what happened at noon? Chapter 23 of Luke, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Wow. So God, you just blanketed the whole thing. So we're all there, but it shouldn't be dark, but it is. And God put a, as you know, think of the funeral, especially the funerals where you cover the casket with a black cloth so that it doesn't make any difference whether the casket is $7 million or $7. They're all equal. And you put the black cloth over it to make it understand they're all equal. God, in the death of your son, you dropped a black veil, pale, over the whole thing. Wow. It's an awe. You covered it. I did. It was very special. Wow. Now, go with me, please, in the light of that, while you're here, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And may I remind you and myself, Revelation 6, picking up if I can, starting, remember, in the seal. Verse 13, the stars of heaven fell into the earth, and even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, verse 13, and she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were removed out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man, in other words, all the humans, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, just you have to understand, verse 14, what'd you do, God? Here we are, all over, here's the world spinning around, and here we all are in the world, and the sun and the sun and the day and the night, depending on where you are in the world, here you are, and God moves it, opens it up like that, all those stars, just like a scroll, it open, rolls it out, and looks down, as it were. Isn't that awesome? You say you can't do that with the stars. You can't do that with the sun. You can't do that with the moon. God can do whatever he wants. And at that moment, God will blanket all of it and open up the whole sky so that the only thing you realize is God's wonderful person. And that they want to hide from. That's awesome. That's coming up. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over now to help us more, over in the light of, well, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58, you don't have to turn there. Fear God, fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God. Fear God. The whole chapter 28 and all the cursing, Israel is to understand in all of the things that are happening that you wish didn't, I want you to learn to fear me. Fear me. Respect me. I'm God. Don't minimize me. Don't make me little. Don't make me lose and be reduced to your mind and your thoughts and your understanding. Don't let that happen to God in your heart. Now, back over to Joshua. Joshua, if you would, chapter 3. Joshua in chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, picking up if I can, in chapter 3 and going to verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hivites, etc. God, you're going to know, said Joshua, you're going to know God is present. Gibeon, are you learning God is present? You betcha, because the sun sits there and doesn't move. And why? Why? Why doesn't the darkness come? A man, that's Joshua, whom we deceived, said, stand still. What kind of God is this that can do that? What kind of man is this that can say it? You see, Gibeonites, don't take God lightly. What you did to God, and he's bearing with you, and letting you be slaves to the Israelites. But don't play with God. Don't think you can get away. And God's nothing. No, oh, to have a reverence for God that governs our words and our heart and our coming and going. A sense of God. Wow. Hang on. I got to do it quick. Now, chapter 4, verse 24. All kinds of, here's one. That the people, 4 and 24, remember, that the people of the earth, what? Might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. And by the way, are you guys ever going to learn it? Did you get the Jordan? We crossed over. You thought, and Jericho and I, you thought that was something. Now take a look at what I just did. You heard my wonderful, I rule and reign at Mount Ebal. I want you to pay attention who I am. And Joshua, my man, excited about me, looked to me. And then he looked and said to the sun, stand still. To the moon, don't move. We've got to finish the chase. All 36 miles of it. Wow. Wow. Now, and thus, in the chapter 10, verse 14, There was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And so, in who is your ally, God? Who is the one that protects you? God. If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? You believe that? You see, if God's for you, who's going to be against you? The world against, my own heart's against you, God. That's why I'm going to yield. I surrender. Wow. Because I know my heart would be against you. So now, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, another window to look at this whole thing. Wow. And in the process, Isaiah 45, picking up just a wonderful statement, you know it. We've done it how many times? Chapter in the light of idolatry and everything. Isaiah 45, picking up verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Ask me, said God. What I'm doing, why I'm doing, and I'm going to do it. Ask me what I'm doing. Ask me. Wow. Hang on to that. Isaiah 65. God in the coming up in the millennium, etc. Isaiah 65, picking up, please, in thought. Verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. And now, sliding over, if you would, to verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God, are you going to be? I already know. I already know. Matthew chapter 6. I know what your heart needs are. You need to trust me. Your Father knoweth. Father, children. Father, do you take care of your children? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. We sing it. Wow. You bet. You bet. You bet. Wow. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, Luke to chapter 17. Luke in chapter 17. The Lord Jesus encouraged all kinds of ways. And people said, no, it isn't true, but it is true. It is. Chapter 17, Luke 17, picking up, if I may, in verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We need to believe you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Like we shared this morning in Sunday in worship. He is the person of God. Everything is in him. So when you come to God and trust him, he can do, he is everything and makes everything happen. Wow. So verse 6, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, an extremely, extremely small seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, who said that? God did. Now, why'd you say it? Because you said you wanted your faith increased. Now, if you believe me, you could say to the tree, into the great sea, and it would go. Now, God said that to them. Are they ready for that? No. No. Does God need to do that? No. He's trying to help them what? There's no limit. You're trusting me? Hang on, we're going to get it. You're trusting me? Then believe. I'm God. I'm not a little God in your head that you come up with every now and then to help you. No, we're in the presence of your wonderful person. So now, God, having said that, God, do you have our attention? You're getting my attention. And God, you are who you are. It's your creation. We just saw it at 6 o'clock. Your wonderful, wonderful working. Wow. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And if I may, 1 John chapter 5, and may I pick up a statement you're familiar with. Remember, these things are written that you might know, verse 13, that you have eternal life and you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that he that hath the Son hath life. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Ask anything according to your will. And if it's your will to throw the sycamine tree into the tree, then God do it. If it's your will. And Joshua, you looked to God excitedly, and God, and you just stepped out and said, sun, stand still, and moon, stay still. Don't move. And God honored it. He honored your faith. He honored your belief that it would happen. Because no human can stop anything. So now, here we are, and verse 15, if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So here we are, God, and we're asking for your will. Tomorrow, next week, easy, work, home, school, easy, hard, much, little, you want God's will. And God wants His will. And that's what you want. And God said, ask for it. Ask me, command me. Wow. How many people do that? How many believers do that? Wow, where do we find them? We have conferences and everything. Where do you find this? Wow. Information is wonderful. But we have a should information should end up with an excitement about the person of God. And all that information is gobbled up in His wonderful presence. And it isn't the information. It's His person that's important. It isn't what you know. It's His presence. And all what you know is immaterial at that point. Wow. So now, over if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. And may pick up in thought, as you would guess, chapter 14, and in verse 13. Easy. Upper room, before He goes out to be crucified. And whatsoever, 14, 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, there we are again, in My name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So God, it isn't about us. No, it's about you. And God is glorified. God was glorified, Joshua, when you said, Son, stand thou still. God, the God of a believing heart that believes. And God, you showed yourself to the Gibeonites, to the five kings, to all the rest of Israel, to all the rest of the people in Palestine that you're going to go and get. Wow. Everyone pay attention. God, like last week, is great and terrible. Great and terrible. Wow. That's our God, my God, your God. Wow. Wow. Verse 14. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. So God, we want your will and for your reasons, for your honor and your glory. Over, if you would please, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And you will note, Ephesians chapter 3, in the light of asking whatever you will. So here, Ephesians chapter 3, in the light of the wonderful book of Ephesians and being seated in heavenly places, etc. Now, verse 20. I'll read verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him who fills your heart, that is able, he is able to do exceeding, exceeding, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. In other words, you say it can't be. Abraham, it's too late to have a child. Wrong. He believed God. It took 25 years to get there for Sarah to believe. But Sarah believed God, and Abraham believed God, and God did it when it was impossible. That's what God you are. You're a wonderful God, a very personal God. That's right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh. And then underline the two words in your mind, which are what? In us. In us. In us. Inside. God, you mean my relationship to you gives me the right to ask and seek God's will for my life as I go inch by inch? Absolutely. So God, what are we going to do? We are going to exercise our ordinary life, eating and drinking, doing, working, whatever we do, we're to do it to the honor and glory, do it with thanksgiving. Whatever we do in the common, work and home and school, wash the dishes, go to work, drive the car, do everything we do. That's what we do, the ordinary. And we do it extraordinarily. We drink and eat to the glory of God. Ordinary. Ordinary life. Ordinary living. Ordinary problems. The flu, pain, headache, heartache, growing, all the different stuff you have in your life. Ordinary. And to be handled in an extraordinary way. You have a Heavenly Father that cares, that understands. Aha. And now, God, what do we get? We got something else, God. Sometime in your working in our little life, the outworking of eating and drinking and going and the routine of living and going to bed and getting out of bed and all of that, the routine, the ordinary routine, demands extraordinary action. And God takes the ordinary routine, and when needed, he does the extraordinary. Wonderful. Do you understand that? He does the extraordinary in a personal way. Wow. No sun, no moon, no. Just think of all kinds of ways to look at it. Remember the guy falls out of the building, 5 stories down, lands, whoops, that's the end of him. Another guy falls next door, go out the window, he falls, and he breaks his arm. Same cement, same 5 floors. Explain that. Explain all kinds of things in life. Wonderful things. It's a miracle. We talk about miracles. God, are you able to do the extraordinary? Absolutely. God, can you take care of our little life? God, you do. I know it. Every day I know it. You ought to know it. We're to be triumphant. That's what it's, Joshua, what are you trying to tell us? God, you're trying to tell us you're a wonderful God, and you are God. And the world, I don't care with the people, they don't know you're God. They don't even understand your capability. They don't understand your fatherhood, your person. So even my own family don't even know sometime. But that doesn't stop the wonderful exercise of our wonderful person related to God in Christ Jesus. It's our privilege to live like this. We ought to be triumphant. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say we're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord? What? Doesn't it say to be thankful and what? Doesn't it say that? Why are you saying that, God? Because I'm God. Well, it's a, and you say, well, the Son, and I understand that, and God doesn't interrupt the rest of it. God kept it all in order. So you look, and you're going to say, well, this wonderful order, absolutely. But God, you did something. And you did it. Now, I could give you all kinds of things that may help. Think of the Chinese, the Greeks, Indians, Rome, Greeks, Rome. What are they? All of them have a record of such things. Why do they have a record of them? In their religious writings. They have nothing to do with Israel. Why do they say these things? I don't know. I don't care, actually. I just know there's a wonderful God, and He can do whatever He wants. Now, and hopefully, the Lord will come. The Lord will come even before we finish. And if He does, I want you to know, at any moment, we can be taken up. Every believer that's truly saved is going to go up in the twinkling of an eye. Now, the world is going to be in chaos, right? No. There's not one mention of any problem when He takes all the believers up. Now, God, how can you do that? Should it be a momentous thing in the New York Times and the Hartford Courant and all of this? Should there be a big notice? No. How could you do such a miracle? How did you make the sun stand still and the world does what it does? When I'm God, being God, I can do whatever I want in the way I choose. And you learn to love me and trust me for being who I am. Do you understand that? Wow. Wow. Joshua, you guys have been a real help to a little bit. We're learning. We're learning. And we're going to sing. We're going to pray. Our God and Father, we look to You. Spirit of God, You got to help us. We're just little. Oh God, we got the ordinary part. We need to understand Your wonderful extraordinariness. Great and terrible is Thy name. Awesome, God. Wow. It's a wonderful thing to know You, God. And we aren't going to get all hung up trying to get other people to agree and understand. No, we're just going to learn to enjoy. And then hopefully other people will come to know You in a most wonderful way. So God, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. And we'll thank You, God, work, home, school, safety. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen. Over in your little golden hymn book, as it's called, golden, over to number 40. And let's stand to sing the stanzas. Number 40, and may God bless your heart as we sing. Number 40.